January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Flight Plan Podcast. It has been a minute. Welcome to McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt. Last time we came to you with a podcast was actually before the Super Bowl. We'll get into reasons why, sickness, travel, all kinds of things. But anyway, we are back. I am in New York. Zach is in one of the best cities on the planet, Indianapolis, Indiana. No, I did want to start there, though. You're at the con. I don't want to make fun of you. I've never been there in the good weather, so it could be a fine city in the summer. Yeah. I've just only been there when it's miserable and cold, so I have a bad take on Indy. But Zach, you're there for the NFL Combine. We'll get into what you're hearing, and obviously you were there for Muji and Allen yesterday when they spoke. But you covered the Super Bowl. You spent a week in New Orleans. You came back to New York, New Jersey briefly. Then you went back to New Orleans for another week vacation with your fiance. So all that time in lovely New Orleans, all the food, all the charm, and now you're spending a week in Indy. I mean, it's a compare.
I mean, I don't want to be too harsh, but no, and this has more to do with I'm about to be harsh is why I'm saying that. I don't want to be too harsh. I do think it's more the event than the city itself, but yes. Like this trip is always like kind of soul sucking for me. So going from the New Orleans thing, like I had this trip pre-planned in New Orleans like a while ago with my fiance, but before I knew The Athletic wanted me to cover the Super Bowl for them. And so when they asked me if I wanted to cover the Super Bowl, I had to like think about it for a second, because while New Orleans, one of my favorite cities, been there like 15 times, I have a lot of like personal connections to it. That's like a lot of time in New Orleans. So I had a debate for a second, and my fiance, to her credit, was like, no, you should go. Like, this is a cool opportunity. And she was right. But it like drained all my energy to the point where I was like, I came to Indy with a cold, which I already come to Indy like not loving. The way the combine works, especially these days, everything's later because the meetings go until like 11 p.m. It kind of sucks. But you're just like in these one of like three different bars. With all the, it's usually like 75% media people just trying to like hound any NFL person that comes through. You know, there's parts of downtown Indy that aren't the cleanest, I would say.
All the restaurants share one kitchen, right? Like that's
St. Elmo's and Harry Nizzi's are two of the places I've been to so far. But like on an athletic level, and just in, I mean, this is a new staff, so like getting to like meet some of the people on the staff and stuff is cool. But The Athletic, we're all remote. So we're all kind of on an island. So getting to like see every NFL writer that we have and reconnect and all that stuff, like that part's always cool. Not as cool when I have to spend time with Connor Hughes, but you know, that kind of comes with the territory of being out here, but but yeah, you know, it's, yeah, it's an interesting time. Like I talk about this a lot. I don't envy our Chiefs writer, Nate Taylor. He never has January off, like his entire like time covering the Chiefs. Right. I don't know if he's had a week off in January. And I covered the Super Bowl. I didn't cover the rest of the playoffs. And I'm just like so tired from covering the Super Bowl because it's like so close to the combine now. It used to be a little farther apart. It's like 2 weeks apart. Like that's not enough time to go from that to this. So I don't envy anyone who covers. Okay, I'm going to phrase that wrong. I do envy covering.
You do envy people.
I do envy covering it that wins a lot of games. Like that part is is great. But yeah, you know, out in Indy and seeing a lot of, you know, I've been able to hang out with some of the Badlands crew, which is cool.
Yeah, I saw those guys were out there. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool. We're excited for the live show. I hope everybody who's listening is going to be there. I think there's going to be like, you're probably going, right? I think there's going to be, Joe and Will were saying there's going to be like over 200 people in the crowd apparently.
So. Yeah, I'm hoping to. I assume I don't need to like reserve a space, right? I can just tell them.
No, you're good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm bringing Samantha. She's going to see all the crazies who listen to this podcast and listen to Badlands and stuff like that. See why I'm always in a Discord and staring at my phone and laughing, but that's exciting. But yeah, we can get into the combine stuff, but yeah, there's a life update for you guys. And I'm in the throes of wedding planning, as you guys know. So it's getting closer. So a little more stressful, but we're still in good shape. So,
so we're going to get into, you wrote an awesome story last week where basically you just fixed the Jets in 10 steps in a story and laid it out there. If the Jets do these 10 things, they're going to be off and running and not necessarily like being a playoff team next season, but like things will be heading in the right direction. So we're going to spend some time on that. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers and where he may end up now that he's definitely not coming back to the Jets. But I did want to start with, since you are in Indy, just, you know, you're talking to people all the time there. That's what Indy's all about. That's what the combine's all about. If you're not a college player doing bench presses and 40s. So what are you hearing?
Yeah. You know, I would say like the number one thing is the fact that there's not much getting out about the Jets would be the, like, I think Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji have done a good job of keeping their plans pretty close to the vest. I think it's probably an initiative from the Jets to try and keep things more in-house than they have been in the past, which is a good thing. I know people think that because I report things that get leaked out, that like, I think that's, you know, like I want that to happen constantly. Like, no, it's a problem when a team has leaks the way that they do, like for sure. Like I'm going to report stuff that I hear and stuff like that, but I think Aaron and Mooji so far have done a good job of keeping everything they're doing a little close to the vest. Like, but some of the stuff I'm hearing, you know, it's a lot of it's stuff that's been out there. Like, I think there's a feeling around the league, at least, that there's some interest in Justin Fields. I don't know if that'll amount to anything. I do think the Jets are at least willing or going to look into moving up in the draft. I don't know that they will necessarily because it'll take a lot. If I had to guess who that would be for, I would say Cam Ward. Mel Kiper had the mocked picking Shedeur Sanders. I just don't see that, especially
at moving up
at seven. But we'll get into the press conference. So I don't want to step on the toes of that too much because a lot of the conversation around Aaron Glenn's press conference had to do with quarterback stuff, but I don't think he fits in terms of like the distraction that he would be what Aaron Glenn is looking for in a quarterback. But so Cam Ward would be the one there. I'd say I've heard a lot of rave reviews about Tanner Engstrand as their next OC. I think people at least who know him or know how involved he was in the operation and offensive operation in Detroit and how, you know, Aaron Glenn actually talked about this on the, like the Jets team website. Like he was really involved in game planning and working to figure out ways to get everybody involved because they had so many weapons there. And I think he's got a really good football mind. I think he'll be a little more innovative and creative. I've talked to people who coached with him in Detroit. And they all are very, very high in him. And they all insist that like he was a big part of that offense resurgence. And he kind of like was, you know, attached at the hip to Ben Johnson in the last couple of years. And so he's, you know, you never know with the first time OC. I think you heard a lot of that kind of stuff with Michael Floor before he came here, like a really like a wunderkind and really smart mind and creative and all that stuff. But they need a little more innovation on offense. And I think he'll provide that. But yeah, I'm trying to, there was some stuff I wanted to bring up. I have indie brain, which means I've been out until like 2 a.m, back-to-back nights. So it's hard for me to completely operate. If things come to my mind, I'll think of them. But let's see. I mean, there's a lot of Rodgers stuff. We'll get into that. I'm curious to see what plays out with Jamie and Sherwood. I haven't heard anything in particular about if the Jets are, if they feel like he's a good fit for their defense or if they want to bring him back. I think he's going to have pretty good interest around the league. I think maybe even more than people might realize. I think he's going to do pretty well. There are some linebackers, especially with like Zach Bond. He got signed for very cheap for the Eagles, but he made such an impact on the Eagles defense. And I think there's a lot of emulation in this league. So teams are going to try and find athletic linebackers that can line up in different spots and stuff. And I think Jamie and Sherwood, who's only 25, kind of fits that mold. I think he's going to get a pretty big contract for a linebacker. So I'm curious how he lands in terms of like whether the Jets want to keep him or not. Oh yeah. One other thing I'd say, Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, especially Garrett, like my understanding is that he wants to re-up with the Jets. I think that would, in his mind, I think that would go a long way toward him being happy with being a Jet, even more than like the quarterback situation, which he's probably happier that Rodgers is gone now. I don't know if it necessarily would have been like, I'm gone if you bring him back, as people have speculated, but I believe that if the Jets were to like show him some faith, some love with a big contract, I think you'd see a lot happier Garrett Wilson, because it would just mean they were committed to him. Sauce has announced basically on Twitter, like repeatedly, that he wants to stay with the Jets long term. It's a lot of money to devote to. Not a lot. There are teams that just like won't pay guys this early. It doesn't happen all the time. They've only played for 3 years. There's a couple, the 2022 class, I think it was 2022 of, or maybe it was early. I can't remember. There's like a receiver class a few years ago. Oh no, he was in the 2022 class. The year that AJ Brown was drafted, the receivers from that draft, there was like four receivers that signed extensions after 3 years. It was like DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown. And there's one more I can't think of. So it does happen. But the Jets, they have a really good core of talent, and it starts with Garrett and Sauce, and they have a lot of holes on this roster. But if you get ahead of it now, especially at receiver, with the numbers are going to keep going up. Jamar Chase, the Bengals just basically announced they're going to pay him the most of any non-quarterback. Garrett's not on that level, but like the salaries are going up though. So if I had to estimate, and based on conversation, I think he'd probably be looking for something in the range of $30 million a year. Yeah. And I have no idea what Muji and Aaron Glenn actually think of him. They know that he's very talented, but I don't know. We'll see. There's such a mystery with Muji and Aaron Glenn right now, which is a good thing. Like nobody can really predict. Like it's really going to be, they could go in so many different directions this offseason. Quarterback's the biggest wild card, obviously, but how they handle their in-house people, if they're going to trade some guys I don't think are good fits, like these are all questions that are up in the air. But I think Garrett is open to being a Jet long term. Like I know that was a big topic of conversation because he was unhappy, and I reported this and others did, and people got on our ass, but I never reported that like he's going to demand a trade. I said if things didn't get better, he was not going to be happy being here long term. And so if things get better and he's happy with whether it's Tanner Engstrand and the quarterback or his money, I think he'll be happy to be a Jet ultimately.
I mean, considering how the first three seasons of those guys' careers have gone, the fact that they both say they want to stick around, like, I think if you're the Jets, you have to embrace that. Now, I agree, like, sign up Garrett if you can.
Yeah.
I'd love to see another season of Sauce, just because I know it was overblown that he had a bad year. Like, that's probably not fair, but
very overblown. Yeah.
His third year was not quite at the level of the first two. I would love to just see year four.
Yeah, you want to see like what direction it goes. If it goes back up, if it goes down, if it stays flat. Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously you pick up the fifth year option and you, at least with him. And then hopefully next offseason, you dig into that one. But yeah. All right. So the Muji and Glenn yesterday, and you wrote up about this, about the fact that like the word is like we, right? Like this is a different, it's just a different organization of the organization, where these guys are like two heads of the snake leading this thing. And Glenn probably like 1A and Muji 1B. But the fact that like, if you ask, it doesn't matter, I think, who you ask a question of, you're going to get the same answer from either of them, because like, that's just the way this is, which is great if they continue to be in that sink, right? The bad thing is if like they start to not get along or clash or down the road. But like, it doesn't seem like that's an issue right now. It seems like these guys are on the same page and everything's going in the right direction. You mentioned the quarterback came up a lot, and Glenn actually said, I hate that we're talking about quarterback so much, but no. I mean, it is the NFL. It's the most important position by a lot.
I wanted to talk about this because there was a lot of chatter on Twitter. Some people like being critical of him. Some just like overreacting. On one hand, I didn't find it to be like a contentious press conference. Like it seemed like the perception maybe of that was. I think he just is tired of being asked about Aaron Rodgers, especially.
I am too.
In general,
I'm tired of everybody being asked about.
But like, if I will say about his quarterback comment, where he like pisses him off that everybody just wants to talk about quarterback. There's, you know, it's disrespectful to Quinnen and Joe. I actually found it interesting. The people he shouted out were Quinnen, Joe Tippmann, AVT. And I think Quincy, I can't remember. It was like a very like specific four people that like were the first ones to jump to his mind. But like, he's going to have to get used to that because you're going to, no matter where you are, but especially in New York, you don't have a quarterback solution right now. You're going to get asked about the quarterback at every press conference. Like, so if it's going to make you mad, this is going to be a long year, I would say. So I think he needs to adjust in terms of like the expectation of, I get what he's saying. Like the quarter, he doesn't want anybody to think they're above the team. That's a big reason why Aaron Rodgers is not here. And to tie back to what I was saying about Shador, I think it's a big reason why I don't think Aaron Glenn would necessarily want him unless he's a really, really high in his talent, because you get the whole sideshow with Shador. I don't know how Shador is as a teammate, but it always seems to be about him and it's very loud and his dad is going to be involved and all that. So I would not be into that. And I personally don't like see the ceiling with him. I think he might be a solid quarterback. He's like 6'2", though, not very athletic, not a strong arm. He's like a game manager type. So I don't know if I would go out of my way to draft a guy like that. But like the idea that like everybody, nobody is above the team. I get it. 100% should be the way, like, because Aaron was above the team and he wanted to be. And, but yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the media Aaron Glenn relationship goes going forward. Cause I do think he has his, I don't know, his walls up, or I don't know how to phrase it, but he's like, he knows what's coming and he knows how to like deflect it. And so we'll see how long that lasts. But I mean, I would say one of my takeaways, and I've kind of talked about this on here and I've written about it there. I think they are high on Tyrod Taylor just as a human. And I think they know in the building, people, a lot of people like him. So there is a real
Garrett chance. Garrett likes him, right? Garrett's a big
Garrett talent, likes so. Him a lot. Yeah. He's very popular in that locker room. And I think he's a guy that does the stuff that Aaron wasn't, that a lot of these guys want, which is take shots downfield and move around the pocket a little more. He is injury prone. There's obviously downsides, but I do think there's a real chance.
He's not playing 17 games. Tyrod Taylor's not playing 17
games. I do think there's a chance he's a week one starter. And like, we'll get into my 10 step plan. I think whether you plan to bring Tyrod in or not, you obviously have to bring in at least one more quarterback, if not two more. But yeah, I do get the impression they both really like Tyrod. They did address, and this kind of ties into the quarterback thing a little bit. They did address Quinnen Williams. Actually, since we haven't been on the pod in a while, so Quinnen Williams had a tweet after the Rodgers news officially, I think it was when it officially came out, that he tweeted and then deleted, which was like, I guess I'm about to be in another rebuild, essentially was the tweet, which... Man, these guys need to stop tweeting, first of all. But, like, I don't know. Like, it's not hard to figure out why they got rid of Rodgers. Like, so I don't know. I get where Quinn is coming from. He's just been part of a losing team his entire career. But anyway, Aaron seemed to address that with him. And
do you think that he deleted the tweet before or after he heard from Aaron Glenn?
I think before, because I think he's all blown up.
Like, he tweeted it and he was like, oh, that was stupid. Well, like, his buddy was like, I shouldn't have done that.
Well, he deleted it and then he tweeted again with a thumbs down. So I think he realized he maybe went too hard on the first one. But my hope, and I think Aaron Glenn kind of said this, he's like, I hope we keep these things in. Like, I get frustration from these guys. And to his credit, his quote, which I think was maybe the best quote he had yesterday, was like, I'm going to make decisions that these guys don't like again. Like, it's going to happen. So I just hope that they keep their frustrations in-house. And I think that's going to be the message. And for their sake, like, I know it's entertaining from a media perspective to see Sauce and him and Breece like tweeting these things at fans or whatever it is, or reacting. But it is better for the culture if you are not tweeting your reaction to news, especially if it's in the negative. So my hope is that he is the new sheriff in town in terms of social media activity as well.
All right. Do you want to do the 10 steps?
Yeah, we can get into that.
All right. 10 steps to fix the Jets this offseason. Steps 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to group together here because it's kind of like clearing out,
yeah,
getting cap space, that sort of thing. Cut or trade Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, that's going to happen. Cut Rodgers' friends, Davante Adams, Alan Lazard. So they cut those two guys, and I think they get over $35 million in cap space from those two, getting rid of those, yeah, two. And then move on from C.J. Mosley, which is probably a year late. Like, they probably should have made that decision, but I think their thought process was like, we're all in this season. Let's just get CJ for one more year. Unfortunately, you didn't get much of CJ in that year. So now it's time to say goodbye. So those are your steps 1, 2, and 3. Trade Rodgers, get rid of his friends, move on from Mosley. Makes sense. I mean, that's all no brainers to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Rodgers, if they do the post June 1, which it sounds like they will, they won't get the $9 million they get from that until June 1, but you clear, like you said, you clear a bunch from Davante and Alan Lazard. I think Mosley would have to be post June 1 as well, whether he retires or they cut him. So they don't really have a lot of avenues to create cap because the way they structure the contracts the last couple of years has been like loaded up with void years and dead cap at the end of it. So like, they're paying like 7 guys. They're not even going to be on the team this year. It's going to be more like 9 or 10 once you add in those 3 or 4 counting Mosley. I don't think they're going to go and make like huge splashes and like spend all of their money this offseason. I think the cap is going to go up quite a bit next year. There's some benefit to having some rollover cap into next year. I think they will sign some guys at positions of need. We'll get into some of that. There's some I left out that I wish I kind of included. We can get into that too. But so I do think they're going to sign some veterans. I hope they go more along the lines of what the Jets did in like 22 when they signed guys like DJ Reed. Like, I think you need to be targeting free agents like that are like younger, on the upswing, but not like stars yet, and so you can get them at a reasonable price kind of thing. And so you're going to clear cap. They should have around like 50 or 60 million in cap space. The cap went up, I think, maybe even a little more than people expected. So they're in pretty good financial health. There's a lot of dead cap hits on the books, which sucks. They don't have a lot of avenues to get rid of other guys. I know fans want them to cut Michael Clemens. I think they would save like $3 million, but I think they'll keep him through training camp at least. So, I mean, don't hurt me, but I do think that'll happen. But yeah, those three are those moves. Especially Davante and Lazard probably will be the first cut. Usually it happens around now. Teams will start cutting. I think they cut Uzama last year around this time. You start cutting guys, and some teams have started doing it. Free agency starts in like 2 weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. So Davante, I wouldn't be surprised if they at least try to see if they can just like trade him instead of just cutting him and get like, even if it's just a late round pick.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Get anything. Like, send him to a team he wants to go to. Maybe it's a team that Rodgers goes to or wants to go to. But like, try your best to do that before free agency if you can. If not, cut him, get the cap savings. The receiver room is going to be a problem, which we'll talk about, but that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. And then you mentioned free agency, so let's get to that next. And 2 of your 10 steps are, one of them is guys that have been there. So bringing back Jamie and Sherwood, who we talked about a little bit, yeah, that could be costly. And Morgan Moses, who probably won't be costly as long as he wants, yep, to play again. And then bringing in the Lions, man. And we talked about this as soon as they hired Aaron Glenn, right? Like, how do you change the culture and do what the Lions were able to do? Well, bring in those guys. So you have Levi Onwuzurike.
I think you got that.
I hate that name. Yeah, I can say it. I just can't read it. Derek Barnes, linebacker, and then Tim Patrick, the wide receiver. So those are like 3 clear Lions free agents that fit the roster right now, right? Like, all 3 of those guys fit what the Jets are going to need.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Salah got made fun of a little bit because he brought in all these Niners guys, but that's kind of like how you help to establish your new culture. You bring guys who know what you expect on defense. Onwuzurike is the most intriguing one of those 3 because he's only 25. He started off with some injuries, so this last year was his first like full year. They need a good defensive tackle next to Quinnen. I don't necessarily think even signing him would preclude them from like hypothetically drafting Mason Graham, although I lean towards them going in other directions personally, but even though I think he's a stud. But yeah, so Levi, he's the most interesting one. Carlton Davis, the corner, I think is another one they'd maybe look at. And so if you're like looking at guys that play for the Lions, but I don't think they need to spend a lot on a second corner. And I have a move later in the the plan, obviously, that addresses corner. But yeah, so I think bringing those guys, and Tim Patrick's a guy that he's a depth piece. He's not like, you don't want him to be your number two across from Garrett Wilson, but he's just like a solid veteran, red zone threat, deep threat. Muji knows him from Denver. He was there for a while, and then he had those a lot of like season ending injuries before he kind of rejuvenated himself a bit in Detroit. But yeah, these are just like locker room guys. Derek Barnes, again, like he was banged up last year. He had a pretty good year the year before that. Aaron Glenn knows him well. Won't cost much. He's young. If you lose Sherwood, he's an option. If not, he's the third linebacker if you deal with injuries, which they did this last year. So I think those all make sense, both for depth and just for like filling out the depth chart and with guys they need.
And you also have signed Justin Fields. I know we already talked about that, but yeah. But you do have that move, which we've heard the rumors about as part of your plan.
Yeah, I say sign Justin Fields and or draft a one too, because I don't know if Fields will. I mean, I think the Steelers might have interest in bringing him back, so there's no guarantee he's even like hits the market. Because there's no like obvious franchise quarterback available this offseason that the Jets can clearly get, unless they really have a shot at Stafford, which I don't. From my understanding, is both people seem to think he's not going to leave the Rams, and if he does, I don't think the Jets are going to be a contender. So you remove Stafford from the mix, and your best options become Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, Carson Wentz, and then guys in the draft. So I lean towards trying to find a lottery ticket, like a Sam Darnold type last year. I don't think Darnold's coming to the Jets, and I don't know if you want to pay him that much based on like how things ended in Minnesota anyway. And if the Jets like have the structure to even make it work with him, but yeah, I lean on taking a lottery ticket guy for a year where you're not like bogged down by his contract or anything. If Fields has a resurgence with the Jets or like beats out Tyrod in training camp, then you have somebody with talent that you can try and lock up. He's still young. If it doesn't work out, like this isn't like a team that's going to make the Super Bowl this year anyway. And then the draft, I've alluded to this. I wrote something leading into the combine about, you know, the Broncos. Muji had a pretty educational experience because he's kind of going into what the Jets are about to deal with. Getting rid of a veteran quarterback with a huge dead cap hit and being in a spot in the draft where you're not going to be able to get like the top prospects. And they loved Bo Nix despite all the pre-draft rankings. They kind of kept it pretty close to the vest. They drafted him earlier than anybody thought because they really believed in him, and he worked out to a degree. So
they battled through a really bad month, right? Like he was so bad.
I was talking about this with our Broncos writer, Nick Kosmider. He was so bad against the Jets that I thought, like, how the hell is this guy a starting quarterback in the NFL? And then you look at his stats at the end of the year, as I wrote, that would have been like one of the three best seasons in Jets history statistically. He had like 3,900 yards and like 30 touchdowns. But anyway, my point being, so like maybe you and I or people watching this don't think Jackson Dart should be the number 7 overall pick. But if the Jets believe he can be a franchise quarterback, those are the guys you take swings on, or you trade back and get them, whatever it is. But you don't risk like missing out on a guy if you think he could be an absolute stud. So I wouldn't rule out something like that. And I think they should, even if, again, if they sign Justin Fields, if you get to the second or third round and you love Jalen Milroe or you love Will Howard, draft him, like, and just stash him if you have to, and hope that he can become something. And if he doesn't, you took a swing, and it's hard to blame you for that. So that's kind of where I'm at with the quarterback position.
I'm going to skip over extend Garrett because we already talked about it. Pick up options on Sauce. Jermaine Johnson, too, obviously the big name that they need to do that with. And then we'll get to your cornerback fix, which is trade back in the draft and select Will Johnson to be your number two corner. And obviously you get something in return there, too, as far as picks.
Yeah, I had the hardest time with deciding what I wanted them to do in the draft. My Arizona bias creeps in a little, and I want them to draft T-Mac from Arizona, the receiver, Tatoria McMillan, because I think he's a stud. And I still think that could be on the table, even in a trade back. Mason Graham, if he's there, hard to turn down. Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, if he's there, hard to turn down, could be your long-term right tackle. But I don't know. I like the idea of giving Aaron Glenn some toys to play with in the secondary. I don't think there's a safety that's worth drafting this high. I do think they're going to invest in a safety. I don't know who. That'll be like a later point for this checklist. But at corner, You have Sauce already. You have Michael Carter the second. Will Johnson, he's an intriguing guy. He had some injuries last year, but 2 years ago, he was an All-American. Even last year, he had two interceptions for a touchdown. So he's like a playmaker, ball hawk type guy. And he's going to have the measurables and the combine stats if he's healthy, because I think he runs really fast. And so I think the Jets arguably have the best coaching room in terms of like corners and defensive backs in the NFL. If you look at Aaron Glenn, was a great defensive back and a great defensive back coach. Chris Harris, who I think is somebody who's really highly respected around the NFL, played in the NFL. And they have Dre Bly, who they hired as the assistant defensive backs coach, longtime NFL corner. And so I think it's really good environment to bring in. It doesn't have to be a first round pick necessarily, but it's a really good environment to bring in a guy you can mold into like a star. And Will Johnson wouldn't have to be the number one corner coming in. They have Sauce Gardner. They have Michael Carter the second. You have Quantes Diggers, who you're developing. Like, so I'm just highly intrigued by that. I don't know if a lot of fans will be excited by that, but getting everything together on the back end, they should invest in the trenches. Like, they need to improve in the trenches for sure. They have pretty good guys at edge rusher. They probably could use another edge rusher, but yeah. So I just like the idea of it. Like, I haven't dug into like the prospects enough to be like, Will Johnson is the guy. I asked Will Parkinson about him a little bit. I think he's pretty high on him in terms of like the talent. There are questions about like the durability right now, but yeah. So that was kind of my thought process there.
And if you have a ball hawk opposite Sauce, who quarterbacks don't throw to, you know, that's the kind of player that you'd love on that other side.
Yeah. 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 If you have a ball hawk who can, if they're going to throw it at him more and he gets five picks, then you're feeling pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Add a starting receiver. We mentioned Tim Patrick, who would not be that. So add a starting receiver. Any thoughts on what type of starting receiver?
Yeah. It's not the most amazing.
This is number nine, by the way, in the 10 step program.
Yeah. So I don't think the Jets should be like spending on like Stephon Diggs or like one of the top end guys, unless you get him like on a really, like if you can get Diggs on like a 1 year prove it deal, maybe. But the ones that I kind of have my eye on are somebody like Darius Slayton. I actually really like as like a low cost 1 or 2 year deal type guy. He's been pretty productive for a shitty Giants team. Solid like downfield receiver. I think he'd be a good compliment. If you're drafting one, I like T-Mac obviously, or guys in the second round. One that I've like grown on me is Dyami Brown from the Commanders. Really fast. He didn't have a productive like season, but he like really came on in the playoffs. I think he's one of those, as you were talking about earlier, like a DJ Reed type, 25 years old, there's like a ceiling. There's like room to improve. He's a guy you take a shot on and see if he can be good. So I don't know that the Jets are necessarily interested in him, but he's somebody that I have my eye on. But I think Slayton would be the most interesting, like obvious, like you plug him in as your wide receiver too, and you feel pretty good. You get Tim Patrick, maybe you draft another one. You hope Malachi Corley becomes something, and then you have a little bit better of a receiver room. I don't think they need to like overspend on a receiver, but getting like a solid starter would be a really, really good start.
It'll be interesting to see what the new coaching staff can unlock with Malachi Corley. Like, that'll be really interesting, because obviously it didn't go well rookie year. All right, I don't know.
He has to prove him. Corley has to prove himself to a new staff, like all over again, for sure.
Right. And I don't think he proved himself to the old staff. So
no, he didn't.
revamp the safety room, which I think you kind of already touched on, but that's
a little bit. Yeah.
10 step.
Yeah. You know, they were able to get away with not investing in that room for a couple of years because they were really good up front. This last year kind of fell apart. The front did not get consistent pressure. And so you were exposed with like Tony Adams and Chuck Clark and Ashton Davis and Isaiah Oliver, like just guys who are probably best at all as like a third safety and not the starters. If you look at what they had in Detroit last year, they had Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, which probably was the best safety duo in the NFL. Guys, you can move as chess pieces around the defense, especially Branch. And so I don't know if it's in the draft. I don't know if it's in free agency. There are some interesting safeties. They usually don't cost that much. They need to invest in the safety position, even if it's just one of those two guys. I don't know who it's going to be, but that's something I have my eye on. And I think Aaron Glenn knows that's important. Obviously, I think that's an important part of the defenses he's run. Steve Wilks. I think they're going to bring in a safety. Here, I'll pull up the free agents while we're here of who would make sense, maybe. I mean, Marcus Williams, he's kind of like past his prime, but he played for Aaron Glenn in New Orleans. I saw somebody, I think it was ESPN, had Justin Reed as a guy who is like a good fit at the right price. That'd be interesting. But yeah, I think they need another stud on the back end. That's for sure.
All right, those are the 10 steps. That's how we're going to remake this team and get it moving in the right direction. Good story. Check out all the details on that at The Athletic. Good job by Zach putting that together. All right, a couple other things before we wrap this one up. Aaron Rodgers, he's not ready to hang it up, according to reports, Zach. He's according to some people, picked where he wants to be, which would take some other movement, but one possibility, the Rams along with Devontae Adams. Obviously, right now, Matthew Stafford is still with the Rams. So this kind of combines our last two topics, which is one, where does Aaron Rodgers go? And two, interesting players who have been granted the right to go look for a trade. So if Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams are going into LA, it's funny that Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp are both guys that could be traded. That, you know, Cooper Kupp 31 now, former MVP of the Super Bowl, and Matthew Stafford. It's crazy to think of those two guys suddenly playing somewhere else. But it'd be interesting if they were together somewhere and then Rodgers and Adams were together.
I mean, the most fun outcome would be just a straight up swap. You go Matthew Stafford and Kupp for Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Because it's like, it's also the flip where I think Aaron Rodgers is more on the decline than Matthew Stafford. And I think Cooper Kupp is more on the decline than Devontae. So you're like,
right. So it almost evens out matches up. Yep.
But all the stuff about Stafford and the Giants, like, just makes absolutely no fucking sense to me. The Giants are not good. Like, so I don't get why he's, unless he's just using that as a leverage play to get the Rams to pay him $50 million a year. Joe Shane is desperate. Mike Florio, of all people, reported that Rodgers might have interest in the Giants. I don't know who in Rodgers' camp would tell Florio anything based on the way he writes about him. So I'm skeptical about that, though. It would be entertaining to me, especially for like people who cover the Giants. I'm friends with a lot of them, and having to see them have to deal with Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday and all the Aaron Rodgers stuff and him going to the Giants and the Giants where they're very big on their image and the things they talk about and stuff like that. So it would be a funny outcome. But yeah, Cooper Kupp is on the decline. He does feel like a guy that over the years, the Jets get at the end of his career, because they historically get all these guys at the end of their career. I don't know if he has much left in the tank. The Jets do need another receiver. I don't know if he's a good fit with Garrett Wilson. So I lean towards them not coming to the Jets, but interesting. It's going to be interesting. I think he wants to go to the Rams. I heard that a while back. Pat Leonard reported it for Daily News like yesterday. He was the first one to like report it, to his credit. If not the Rams, like, and that takes obviously a lot of steps, like both Stafford going elsewhere and the Rams wanting Aaron Rodgers. And the idea of Rodgers working with Michael Flores is really funny to me, but I don't know if that's going to happen. If that doesn't happen, like, does he want to go to the Giants, the Browns? There's like, these are not good teams. Like, he was interviewed by TMZ. I don't know if you saw that. And the guy was like, what are you looking for? What are a couple things you're looking for in a new team? And all he said was, someone that wants me and a team that's good, essentially, were like the two things he said. And I don't think the Browns qualify for either of those, or maybe they want them. I don't know. But yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. And I don't know, it'd be kind of fun to see if he could work out somewhere else or what it would look like in another uniform. The Vikings, it would be the most fun outcome just because the Brett Favre of it all. But I lean towards him not having a team that really wants him yet. Maybe he waits until a training camp and somebody gets hurt and they're desperate, that kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to get a read on. I know Diane on Scoop City she reported that she had talked to a bunch of teams and it didn't seem like there was really any interest in the league. So I don't know.
He's like the Bill Belichick of this offseason. All right. Three other players who are available for finding a trade: Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive end; Harold Landry, Titans outside linebacker; and Deebo Samuel, wide receiver for the Niners. Are any of those guys, do you think there's anything where those guys could find their way to New York?
I don't see it. I mean, Debo's really on the decline and he's going to cost too much. I'd be intrigued with him as like a weapon and a mentor to Malachi Corley, who has been compared to him.
I mean, that's what you want Malachi to be, right? So yeah. Yeah.
I don't see that. Jonathan Allen's the interesting one to me. He's coming off a year where he was pretty banged up, but when he's healthy, he's really good. They could use some defensive line play. They would have to renegotiate his contract. I think he has a $15 million salary last year of his deal. So if you can get him to renegotiate to like a 2 or 3 year deal where you're reducing the cap hit, like, I would be interested in that. He is 30. Harold Landry, really talented edge rusher, but his contract's a little high, and I don't know how he fits with Jermaine and Will McDonald necessarily. I think they, if anything, they need a defensive end who is maybe a little more well-rounded. I think Landry is more of a McDonald type, where he's more of a pass rusher than a run stopper. So Jonathan Allen of that group is the most interesting, but I ultimately don't probably see them going after those guys, I would say.
All right. It'll be interesting. It's going to be a fun off season. It always gets kickstarted where you are right now, which is in Indy at the combine. And then after that, it's the draft and off we go. Before we say goodbye, we want to put a bow on the picks for this season. Here you go. It came down to the Super Bowl. It came down to Joe and historic ST. I think it's, I can't remember. He told me at one point, historic ST anyway. And Joe actually told me that he knew the Eagles were going to win, but he also knew that he was one game back and figured that historic ST would take the Eagles. So Joe went with the Chiefs just because it was his only chance to pull even. And sure enough, the Eagles, man, did they win. So there you have it. Luckily for Joe, who finished second, we have two gifts left. We've the watches, two levels of watches. So we're going to send them each one because it was great competitive battle throughout the playoffs. And those guys were locked in all season long. So one watch, which is a little higher level, will go to historic ST as the winner. Joe, we'll send you one as well. Thank you for participating all season long. We'll see what we can do for next year. If we can, maybe we change things up a little bit. I'd love to get ahead of it. We scrambled to put it together this year.
I know. Yeah. I feel like we struggled with it this year.
Yeah. We'll be better.
We'll be better next year. We'll be better. I felt so behind on doing the picks myself too, that it was like at a certain point, I just gave up on doing them.
I think this is something where I don't think anybody else in Badlands does like a picks pool, right? Like we're the ones that do a picks pool.
I don't think so. Yes. Maybe we got to get
So what Badlands. We should do is we should open it up to everyone, to all the different shows. And I'm happy to still be the one who organizes it and everything, but like, let's get lots of people involved. Maybe we'll do something like that. We'll talk. We got time to figure it out. We have a lot less to figure out with this than the Jets do with their roster. So there is that. All right. Enjoy the rest of your time in Indy, Zach.
All right. Thank you, boss. Yeah. Well, I think the next time we talk will probably be ahead of free agency, which will be, is always a fun thing to preview like this. We're in the,
Cause it's March 10th, Super Bowl season. Free agency. Yeah. So next week will be our, winning the off season. So next week we will preview free agency, and then maybe after free agency, we'll do the recap the next week. And then maybe we move on to Dane, who we've been teasing for like 4 months.
Yes. Yes. Well, I was about to say, so first weekend of free agency, I'm good. The next weekend is my bachelor party, actually. So expect like the Jets to make all their moves the second weekend of free agency. Like that's a lot.
Okay. So they're going to hold off. Are you going? Is this a destination bachelor party?
No, we're just going to go upstate New York, Catskills. Got like a cool Airbnb. Nothing too crazy, but so I'll, I won't be like off the grid completely.
I look forward to pictures of you like leaning up against a tree in the Catskills tweeting out.
Oh, my, just a tradition. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been the Flight Plan Podcast. We'll talk to everybody again next week.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Give your walls the most advanced protection with Pittsburgh's Paramount Interior Paint and Primer in 1. It's scuff, scrub, and wear resistant, while also blocking stains and delivering true one coat coverage. Choose from thousands of color options and refresh your space for spring. View our entire selection of paint and accessories today on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save